Good evening to all. I hope we've got a good week in the Lord, at least a half week. Good to see all of you here. We're going to start tonight in Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. And verse number 8. Brother Jim, did you mention that there? I guess me for now. After church. Yeah, after church, see me. If you want to pay $16, though, for one, you can come see me now. But if not, we'll sell it to you for $8 for after church. I think we have 31 that came in for those cookbooks. So another thing I need to mention is this year's youth camp that we've chose, that we'll be going to over Pensacola with Brother Johnny Pope, is running out. They're selling out fast. Kenny Baldwin's already closed, done, no more for him. So if you're going to camp, youth camp, please see me tonight after church. Get the, what do I call that thing I gave you? Registration form. Get the registration form from me tonight and get it turned back in. We've already registered, I think, 8, honey, is that right? 8 people we've already registered. For camp, youth camp. So if you're going, please, this one will sell out. Brother Johnny Pope always sells out. And now that Brother Kenny Baldwin's completely closed, they'll start moving quickly to this one. So I guess what I'm saying is, if you want a worm to eat as a bird, get in quick, or you won't get a worm. Early bird gets the worm, right? So, usually how it works. Second mouse gets the cheese. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Well, we have been looking at the apostles. We looked at the apostle Paul. And now we're closing this out with modern day Christians. And looking at what the Lord expects from us. As Christians, as his messengers of the day, and we are followers in Christ. If you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, they were called Christians first in Antioch. Chapter 11 of book of Acts, verse 26 says that. We looked at John 3, verses 1 through 21. We realized that the Bible says that knowledge of Christ is not enough. You must be born again. Nicodemus, very wise man, knew a lot about the Bible, knew a lot about law, but it was not enough to save him, just enough to point him to the Savior. And that's what the law is supposed to do. It's our schoolmaster that lets us know we cannot comply to salvation on our own. And so we've got to be born again. And after you made that decision to trust Christ, of course, it is God's perfect will for us as his children to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's what he desires for us. That's why he places the Holy Spirit of God inside of us and seals us. And it's our earnest until the day of redemption. So praise God for it. So tonight, Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, you know, in a general sense, speaking as Christians, we're all sent. Generally, it's everybody's job. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So the power comes from the Holy Spirit of God. It's not on ourselves. It's our job to plant, water, God's job to bring the increase through there. And he's come upon us upon salvation and lives in us. He seals us and we are his child. And he says, we shall be. You shall be. It's a command. You shall be. It's emphatic. You will. This is what you should do. And then the other word you should notice there, unto me, we're witnesses to Jesus. what he's done for us. The best thing you can do is share your salvation testimony about what Jesus has done for you. And then that next word, both, that is a word that means at the same time, simultaneously, I have both my glasses and my glass cover in my hands. And so we're to be a witness both, same time, actually in four different places. It's kind of a tough job, isn't it? But we do that through biblical missions. Well, that's how we do that, through biblical missions. When we support missionaries, we give faithfully to the coffers of the church and designated toward missions and set aside towards missions. We are supporting the Thornsleys over in Colorado. That would be our Samaria and our Jerusalem. When we go out and witness, pass out tracts, meet people on the street, at work, at place, that's our Jerusalem. And so while we're witnessing here, there in our Jerusalem, and then our Judea, guess who's doing that for us? Brother Bedell, right down the road down there, still in Florida. He's witnessing for us down here. He's helping us. And then the uttermost part, got a letter today from the McKinleys. One of our missionaries is flying back. I don't know if they're on planes right now, Sister Lois. They're flying back, so we help them, and that's our uttermost, and we're doing it all at the same time, and it's a biblical pattern that we should do this. And so we are all messengers for God as we do that. Now, what's the qualification of a messenger? You must be born again. It's hard to tell somebody about the Jesus that you don't know. Can it happen? Sure, it can happen. Praise God for it. Praise God for it. It can happen. But God, listen, God, this is the thing we got to get and realize that in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So for us today to be a witness, a biblical witness, like it says here, we must be born again. The Holy Ghost has come upon us, given us power. It means we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And think about this. Each one of us, dear friend, each one of us was helpless to save ourselves. We didn't have anything within us that would be. So we are helpless not only to save ourselves, that means we're helpless to pay the debt that we owe. There's a wage for sin. The wage of sin is death. That's what Romans 6:23 says. Aren't you thankful that in the sovereignty of God that he didn't cut off that verse right there? For the wage of sin is death. That could have been it. I mean, we could have lived upon this earth 20 years, 80 years, 50 years, 10 years, 6 years. And then when death came and that was it, we could spend eternity in the devil's hell for the rest of our life. Our eternity, our eternal life. But aren't you thankful God in this sovereignty saw fit to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we were helpless as sinners and helpless to pay that debt. So Christ paid that sin debt for us. And we called upon him, and anybody that believes in their heart, accepts Christ their personal Lord and Savior, the Bible says, you shall be saved. Just as emphatic as this verse. So our salvation was emphatic through Jesus Christ. And after we're saved, the command to be a witness is just as emphatic. Just as emphatic as the part about being saved. And I thank God for it. I do think this, that as a qualification of a good witness for the Lord, because we're a witness whether or not we want to be or not, we better be a good witness. The Bible talks about a stepping stone and a stumbling block. And we can do that sometimes, dear friend. Bad attitudes, sour faces, sad that we're going to heaven. Oh, God, I'm going to die and I'm going to go to heaven one day. Oh, Lord. Well, who would want to join you? I mean, talk like that when you're going to the dentist. Who wants to go to the dentist? Lord, nobody does. And we talk like that, like, we're going down there to get a root canal when we get to heaven. No, no, we're not, dear friend. There's going to be gold, but it ain't going on your teeth. We're going to walk on it. Street of gold. And the Holy Spirit of God seals us. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. So one of the qualifications, I would say, for a disciple or follower or witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, number one, you must be born again to be saved. Then secondly, I'd say we need to be spirit controlled. We need to listen to the Spirit and talk, let the Spirit talk to us. Ephesians chapter 1. I used to have a hard time remembering if Ephesians came before Galatians, Galatians came before Ephesians, and then I realized when I had the hardest problem in my life with some appliances, I mean, them things stayed broke. And guess what brand they were? GE. And I'd get fight mad. And God said, why don't you, instead of getting fight mad at GE, think about how to remember where Galatians and Ephesians are. And that's how I got over being fighting mad with GE. It gives me a good pointing reference to where Galatians and Ephesians is. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. The Bible says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter number 8. Flip back over there. The book of Romans chapter 8. So we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and having the Spirit live within us, that eternal being, God Himself, God the Spirit, living in us, dear friend, it does something for us. Look here, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Being spirit controlled and being under the control of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit controlling us, dear friend, is a good birthmark of the fact that you're born again. It's that simple. Well, it's my life and I'm going to do what I please. Yeah, you can do what you please, but whenever the debt comes in, you got to pay it on your own. Certainly can. You can do it. Listen, that's a good thing about the God I serve. He still, after I'm saved, Brother Paul, He allows me to have the free will to choose what to do with Jesus. Day by day by day. That's a blessing. I am so thankful that whenever I trusted Christ, my personal Lord and Savior. Now listen, I wish I would have done better and have done better. I wish that tomorrow I would do my very, very best. But I live in a body of flesh for God. I wish I would have done. Since I got saved, I wish I would have, would have done my very, very best that I could have done for Him. But I know that I have failed God many times. But wouldn't it be a sad thing, dear friend, that after I got saved, that it was just like a robot. I did it because I just was programmed to do it. Then when I got to heaven, what use would it be for God to give out jewels and crowns and trophies and all these things that we can turn around and lay at the feet of Jesus? What good would it have done? Because He would have had done it all. You know what happens? When we're in a situation and we're spirit controlled and we allow the Spirit of God to control us and we live and walk in the Spirit, dear friend, and we make good, godly, graceful decisions. Hey, Gabriel, look at that. I'm going to put a ruby right in his crown or her crown. Look at it. Because she chose to serve or to do. It wasn't a made to or have to. It was because I chose to do that. Look in Romans chapter 8 again, verse number 1. We might spend a little bit of time here, but I think it's important. Now, yeah, we got to understand something different. The Holy Spirit is constantly, constantly at war with our natural tendency to sin. Why is that? Because He's holy. He's holy. It's a constant battle. The flesh and the spirit, according to Galatians 5, it says they're contrary one to another. Therefore, they fight war with each other. Look at Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled where? In us. Try walking in the Spirit, and you'll know how contrary we are. So the righteousness of the law is to be fulfilled in us. And that's only done because why? Who walketh not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm telling you something, dear friend. The flesh doesn't like this book. The flesh doesn't want to yield to this book. But the Spirit of God living within us helps us to yield ourselves as instruments of righteousness, as it says in Romans chapter number 6, and therefore as we yield ourselves to the Spirit, then the Spirit begins to wield away and cut away and be to chisel away those areas in our life that are not in the likeness of Christ. Because it is, again, God's predestined will for us to be a reflection of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Well, there's a good test that we can apply to things. How's your day been going? Look back, check out. You've been feeding the flesh? You've been sowing to the flesh and you shall reap corruption. You're not seeing God's not mocked. You're not get away with it. Look back in your life and say, man, today's been a pretty good day, spiritually speaking. I'm not going to tell you that walking in the Spirit and yielding yourself to the Spirit is going to yield you a bed of roses. It's not. Not at all. But in the midst of your day, as you feed the Spirit, you feast on the Word of God, you hunger and thirst after the things of righteousness of God, dear friend, your spirit begins to grow, and your spirit, you begin to feed the Spirit of God, your spirit, and they make a beneficial part of your life, because you're not fighting back and forth, because you're subduing the flesh, and you're bringing the imaginations, the thoughts into captivity unto the power of God. Look at verse number 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and what?
Peace.
Boy, I tell you, we need peace, don't we? Well, I could use, times in my life that I look back and say, man, this has not been peaceful today. And then I realize, well, I walked in the flesh. Walked in the flesh. What happened? Let's read on there a little bit. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is what? Enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You know why we fail and falter and fall into sin, backslide? Walking in the flesh. And we're fighting God, and we're just like in God's face. This is what the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. He allows us to walk that route. He allows us, but with the wooing of the Holy Spirit and the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God in us, He tries to direct and guide us away from harmful situations. Okay, so then, verse 8, that are in the flesh cannot please God. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Therefore, it takes faith to be spirit controlled. It takes faith to die to self and be crucified in Christ and let the faith of the Son of God live within us, like it says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not none of his. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that what? Dwelleth in you. Dear friend, without the Holy Spirit's presence, we are helpless, dead, spiritually speaking. You're dead, trespassing and sin. But we heard the gospel of truth, and the Holy Spirit of God moved in, and we're saved, we're born again. God, I do believe to be a good witness for the Lord. Dear friend, we need to be under the control of the Spirit of God. We got to know when to quit sometimes, dear friend. My pastor told me this many times. He said, son, when you're out knocking on those doors, you make sure that you leave room for the next person to be able to talk to them. Don't close the door with your argument. Don't shut them down because you've got to make them and convince them that they are born again. You plant that seed, you water that seed, and you allow God to bring the increase. And he said, this is why God said, some plant and some water. Because we got to leave the door open. How do you know to leave the door open? How do you know when God says, hey, you've done planted as much as you can, you've done waterlogged them. You've done did too much. How do you know it? The Spirit of God that lives within us. God's direct. You know what, when we're talking with people, we're spending time counseling or talking, sharing our testimony, isn't it amazing sometimes how the Spirit of God will bring up a verse in the back of your mind? How do you think that happens? Because God said that when Jesus goes away, the Comforter would come and He would bring all things to remembrance. But if we're not spirit controlled, dear friend, it doesn't happen. You know what we do? We just keep going, keep digging, keep going, keep digging, keep going, keep digging. For long, they slam the door and don't want to talk to nobody. They just close it up. I mean, just close it up. Listen, we believers are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, dear friend, I'm going to be honest with you, according to Scripture, there is a definite outward change. No ifs, ands, buts about it. There's a definite change that takes place. Definite. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. New. There's a change. Listen, dear friend. Paul gives us a great picture in Ephesians chapter 5. On how spirit-filled people are to act. Look over at Ephesians 5 real quick. We got 6 minutes. I hope I can get through this, but I'm going to start anyway. Ephesians 5. Look at verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Spirit-controlled people, dear friend, do not allow anything other than the Spirit of God to control them. Whether it's television, input, medicine input, whether pharmaceutical or bought on the street corner, whether it's bought at 7-Eleven or at the liquor store, if it starts to control you, dear friend, you're not allowing yourself to be yielded to the Spirit of God. Don't allow any other thing. Your emotions, young people. Oh, I'm so in love with that rascal. You let your emotions start controlling you, dear friend. You've let go. Some of you men run around here 55 years old, eyeballing some woman down at the place. You can't handle what you got at home. You better drink out of your own systems, I'm telling you. Verse 19, what does it say? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Spirit-controlled Christian, Bible believer, following in the fruits of the Spirit, dear friend, they love to spend time with other believers in joyful worship. I mean, they just love it. Singing songs and hymns, and they enjoy. They get involved in the music ministry of the church, and whether it's congregational, while they sing out. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing, making melody in your heart. When's the last time when you was alone, the old rugged cross come bellowing out? When's the last time when you was all by yourself and nobody else around, and it's just you, and all of a sudden, how great thou art? Oh Lord, today I was underneath the truck, and the guy that inspects the fire alarm showed up. And he called me last night and said, can I come by? I'm running behind to do it. And I said, yeah, and I forgot he was coming. And I was underneath the truck, and I was singing, how great thou art. I know he felt the flywheel was coming loose when he walked up over there. I know. Verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. A Spirit-filled, walking in the Spirit, born again believer, dear friend, their attitude, they have an attitude of continual praise and thanks for good things that God has brought into our path, and even unpleasant things. All things work. Somebody help me finish it up. I knew y'all knew it. All things. Verse 21. We're about done. Got to get these bus riders running. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Spirit-filled, Bible-believing, God-fearing, walking in the Spirit, trying to fulfill the fruits of the Spirit, walk of God. Dear friend, there's just times that we just submit and defer to each other. We just defer because we would rather Christ be honored and glorified. It's just that way. You know you can be right in the wrong way. Sure can. The Holy Spirit has control over us when we submit ourselves unto God and unto His Spirit instead of sin and the flesh. And that is where we will stop tonight and pick up here next week at this spot right here. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house. We ask you to protect the bus as it travels back and forth. Watch over Brother Scott as he gets the kids home. Pray, God, as we study this out, we saw examples of the apostles, of the great apostle Paul. We saw Christ in them, the hope of glory, and what they did with this world, just those few men. And God, I pray as believers in Christ, and your children, we'd yield ourselves to you, and we'd make a difference in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. You want a song?